Yeah, making art should be easy and not bring you stress. Being creative is beautiful and it's sometimes a mess. And we can't keep making excuses. Oh yeah, we've heard them all. I'm too broke, got no time or talent, don't know where to start. Truth is, you can be an artist here and right now. I mean today, and Kaylee Gray is here to show you how. How to be an artist podcast. Excuses, let's squash that. Time to live free. Be the artist you were meant to be. Let's go.
So, Annika, you are officially the queen of creative habit, and I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm very excited to finally talk to you too.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a long time, and I've known you for a long time. You were on my other podcast as well.
Yes.
And that was great, but I didn't see your face then, so it's nice to see your face now.
Yeah.
Although for people listening, they know faces, but Gemesians are going to see faces. So no pressure, no picking your nose.
Yes, get my lipstick, okay.
Let's start a little bit with an introduction to who you are as an artist and as a person.
Okay, so I am a mom of 2 kids, 7 and almost 10. And I started watching some people create things every day. And I really wanted that. And I didn't know how to do that when I had little kids. So 2 of the people that I was watching was Crystal Moody. She was drawing every day while her kids had breakfast. And then she would post a photo with her breakfast, which was really cool. And Lisa Congdon, I especially liked her lettering project. She worked on that every day for a year. So I was watching people, and I was also watching people in the Get Messy Art Journal group, watching how much work they were making, and I really wanted that, but I didn't know how to fit that in with my family life. So that's kind of where it starts, I guess.
I love that. I love that start from that one. Do you feel like you wanted the just to make something, or did you want lots of making?
Both. I think I wanted the habit of making. Ooh. That was really important. What I made was almost less important than making every day. That was something I admired the discipline of people who are able to make that often.
I love that. So it's kind of the characteristic of a person that inspired you.
Yeah, I think I noticed that they would develop their art way more than people who didn't make regularly. So they would develop their skill. They would have a huge body of work that they were making, and each project that they made wasn't as special. So I think there was something to do with being able to get over the fact that, oh, today's drawing wasn't maybe my favorite, but I'm going to draw tomorrow. So,
yeah. So then how did you go? I feel like we're jumping right into this. It's awesome. I love that. Like in your introduction, that your creative habit has become a part of you and who you are. And so great. So tell me, how did you take it from that want and that desire into making it part of your life, even though you had little kids?
It probably started with the Get Messy prompts, the weekly prompts, and being able to share weekly. There was something about sharing weekly with other people that was important and helped me keep going. I didn't think that I needed the outer accountability to keep going, but I think it was important. And I think that's part of what keeps me going now as I post on Instagram every day. There's something about, I don't know that there's anybody actually saying, hey, if she didn't post today, I'm going to comment. But there's something about it that works for me. And so I keep doing it.
So you post every single day?
Yes.
Have you ever missed a day?
So very recently we went camping. And normally the iPad has been really great for traveling, and I've done it while camping. I didn't post every day, but I did do the drawing and then I posted after. But I did miss 3 days of drawing while we were camping, so I caught up after.
That is the only time you've ever missed.
Yes.
That is insane. Okay. So for anyone that doesn't know yet, you are currently on your 9th 100-day project.
That's correct, yes.
So was that since January 2016, right?
Yes, yes.
And you haven't missed since then?
No.
That is insane. I love that so much.
I think my day, it would start off really badly if I didn't do it that way.
Yeah. So tell me more about the practicalities of it. You start your day with creating.
So when I started in January 2016, I started drawing a little sketchbook. I didn't have my iPad yet. So I spent a year and a bit drawing in a sketchbook. And I started drawing at night before I went to bed, which worked okay, but it wasn't great because usually by that time of day, I'm really tired. And so my ability to think of something, a new idea to draw, and even my ability to draw isn't as great as earlier. But that's where I started. And then in April 2017, I got my iPad. I think I started drawing in the morning almost immediately, and I started waking up before my kids. And the downside of the iPad is that I missed the sound and the feel of the paper, which was kind of strange. I also found the screen, the blank screen, more intimidating than a blank sketchbook page, which was odd, but that's what it was. So I took pictures of blank sketchbook pages. I added them to a layer to the Procreate app in the iPad. And then I started drawing on that, which was, it meant that I don't know why, but it's less intimidating to draw on a photo of a sketchbook page. And it also means the iPad is so cool because it means I can post it and I don't have to wait for the best light of the day. So if it's a really dark day outside or I finish in the evening and there isn't nice light, it doesn't matter. So since April 2017, I have been drawing on my iPad every day.
So I just got an iPad Pro and I feel like I'm in love with it. Do you find your iPad easier? How is it different besides the blank page? How is it different to your journal?
So I was just drawing with a black pen in a small sketchbook, so it wasn't a very messy process. I was making some work for Get Messy Art Journal, so I was doing more watercolor or stamping, some collage, some with my sewing machine. But as a mom with a little kid now, I think you can understand, sometimes it's hard to get that stuff out or it's hard to get it put away before they wake up.
Yeah.
So the beauty of the iPad is that it's not messy at all. You just turn it off and it's gone. So there's nothing for little fingers to get into. That part is so much easier as a parent of kids, especially little kids. Mm. Yeah. So one thing that's also different is the paper, you don't hear the sound of the paper, which is kind of weird. And I don't know if you've noticed the sound of the Apple Pencil is different on this screen than a pen. So there's some kind of physical changes that are different. But overall, I think I've gotten used to it. And because benefits are so much better than, so the alternative for me would be that I might not make things. Mm. And that's much worse than, I can deal with not hearing the sound of paper while I'm drawing.
Have you heard of the paper-like iPad protector?
Yeah, I tried one like that, and I don't know if I got the wrong one, but it doesn't really... The one that I have didn't really work, but maybe I need to try again.
Yeah, you should. They've got a Kickstarter for their 2.0. I've got their 1.0. It came like a week after I got my iPad. So, you know, I can notice a little difference, like I haven't used it for 900-day projects. But yeah, it's great. It's really nice. So before I could only write in cursive, and now I can write in print.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I've been playing with this guy for like 8 days. So, you know, that's the extent of my knowledge.
But it's very exciting. Try. Yes.
So do you only create with this habit or do you ever create outside of those boundaries?
Yeah, I do other projects as well. Probably not as much drawing, but I do things like I sell printables. So one of my printables is a calendar, which I was just looking at right now. I can show you. So I'll translate for the audio, but so it's a printable. There's a blank part at the top and you can do whatever you want on the top. And so then I will do things like stamp on that or sew or collage. There's some projects that I really want to do. I want to make a fern wreath. So I have a brass hoop and I'm not sure how exactly it will work, but I want to tie some fern around it in a circle. And I recently did some sun prints. So yes, I also do knitting, or more crochet than knitting. So yeah, I do other stuff outside of this daily habit, but the other things are probably not drawing as much.
Mm. I like it because it feels to me like your habit is the foundation, and it's maybe, I don't know, like I'm not into exercise, but I suppose it'd be like, you know, going for the walks, and then all the other stuff would be like the weightlifting and, you know, extra things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the rest of this stuff is extra. So the daily drawing is like the foundation, the basic. If I don't do that, I think my day would not feel very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. It's maybe a divisive question depending on how you answer it, but do you think that a creative habit is for everyone?
Yeah, I was thinking, you had asked that earlier and I was thinking about it. And at first I thought, oh no, not everybody needs to have a creative habit. And then I'm thinking more, if you want to be an artist, if you want to make a lot of work, if you want that to be part of your life, I think it does need to be. I think you do need a creative habit. I don't mean that like, okay, now you have to spend an hour every day making something. I don't mean it like that, but I think if you can try and find a small amount of time every day, that it will become part of your identity more.
Ooh,
I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think if I watch people who are consistent at making art, especially daily, you can see that they're getting better. And I don't think that that happens without a habit, because you have to be willing to show up on those days when it doesn't look very good. And you say to yourself, oh, that's frustrating, but I'm going to show up again tomorrow. So it's not a big deal.
Mm.
What I have noticed is that I don't feel as insecure about what I'm making, because it's not as precious, because it's not like, oh, I've only drawn this one thing this month. I hope when I post it, people have nice things to say. Well, I'm showing up again tomorrow. So I mean, even if somebody said something unkind, which people don't, but if they did, then it's not a big deal. It's I'm coming again.
Yeah, because there's such a short space of time between today and tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it is. Especially if you have kids, it goes by really fast.
You're jeepers. I feel like my past, how old's my kid? 2.5. Yeah, I still remember being pregnant. I think when I spoke to you last, I was pregnant.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably. I feel like that took forever. Do you still feel inspired? Tell me a bit more. Can you talk a bit more about inspiration and whether habit is completely devoid of inspiration, whether it's two separate things and two separate ways of creating?
So I found that really interesting, because I listened to your podcast about that and that made me think a lot. I hadn't really thought about that. Part of what I do with my daily habit is I keep a note in my phone so that I keep track of, mostly it's words that I want to draw. So if I've listened to a really good podcast or read something, heard a phrase or a word that I like, I'll keep track of it in my notes so that at 5:45 in the morning when I wake up that I can remember those things. Otherwise, I probably won't. So I think in that moment, I'm inspired. I hear a phrase, I hear Eric. Kind of a concept that's I'm inspired by that, but maybe I'm in the middle of my day, I don't have time to draw it or do anything with it, and so I'm saving it. And then in the morning, I pick from those. The habit isn't really inspired. It's not like I wake up at 5:45 thinking, yay, I'm gonna draw. I mean, I do really like being alone in the morning, with my coffee, drinking hot coffee. It's very quiet. That's important for me. But it's the habit that it's not like some magical moment, I would say. I guess I am choosing to show up. Whether it becomes magic or not is irrelevant. I choose to show up.
I feel like I definitely need to journal that quote. So you set an alarm for when you... For creating.
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah.
I think I want to marry you. I love that so much. What happens if you don't have enough sleep?
Okay, so yeah, I was thinking about that because when my kids were little, like newborns especially, or even like the first year or so, they didn't sleep very well. And I would not recommend getting up early and losing sleep over that. That's not worth it. At least for me, I know I need a lot of sleep. But there are other times of the day that you could look at and say, okay, so I know that I'm going to have lunch today. And maybe while I'm feeding my child, maybe I can have a sketchbook on the counter with me. Or maybe there's some other point in the day that you can add something. And maybe it's not a lot of time. I think I started out with maybe 10 minutes as my goal, or 5 minutes even. And if anything beyond that was extra. And I think that's really important when you're first starting to be gentle on yourself, not think, oh, now I have to sit down for an hour. Where am I going to find an hour? Yeah. So I would say if you set the bar really low, which is one of my big things, if you set the goal really low, it's really easy to achieve it. And if you have extra time that day, but you might be really tired and all you've got is not as much as you would maybe like.
Yeah. So on that note, that leads in nicely to talk about your top tips for creating and maintaining a creative habit.
Yes. And some of these are borrowed from Lisa Congdon or Crystal Moody, these other ladies that have set the standard for creating daily, which I really was inspired by. So the first one, like I said, set the bar low. If you choose something that seems really easy, you're probably going to be able to do it every day. And maybe you start out for a month, but if you set the goal of something that seems like you might not be able to do it every day before you even start, you're probably going to disappoint yourself. So seriously, 5 minutes a day would be a good goal to start if you aren't doing anything daily. When I started waking up in the morning, I didn't start waking up at 5:45. I added time. I gradually added to 5:45. Again, don't beat yourself up for not creating for however much time you think it needs to be or it should be. Start really small.
I like that. I know one of my favorite examples of people not having time is Rosie, who's in Game AC. And she told us that she used to create, or she does create, she keeps a little journal by the microwave so that while she's waiting for the countdown, she does something quickly. And I was just like, that is a hardcore. That is, you know, no one's got an excuse. If Rosie is making while the microwave is beeping.
Yes.
That, yeah. So yeah, even those like 2 minutes and like whatever you have, you've got, like you can fit it in.
Yes. And maybe that time, that 2 minutes, maybe it's not making your final art. Maybe it's prepping something. Maybe it's putting a few things away so that when you do have longer time that it's all ready. So it's, looking for those little bits of time and what can you do instead of longing for those long bits of time and not having it.
That's big.
So one would be to limit the scope of the project. So instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to make everything, I'm going to use my sewing machine and I'm going to knit and I'm going to paint and all the things, pick one thing, or pick, like Lisa Congdon, one of her projects she did only using one color, blue, for a whole, I think it was a whole year. If that's too limiting, feels too limiting, maybe you limit it for a month. Maybe you try it for a month or even a week. That can be helpful so that you're not always having to make all the decisions about what you should use, and you've just got what you have and you sit down, and it's faster, I think, to be limiting those decisions.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I really enjoy travel journaling because I've got this like tiny pouch of supplies and I've just got one notebook, and I remember thinking the one day, damn, I wish I could go on a travel trip just for that. And I was like, you know, I totally can do that. And so I've started carrying around in one of my tote bags, I have a pencil case filled with just a few supplies, just so that yeah, there isn't that decision, and that, you know, you get paralyzed as soon as you're like, should I do acrylics today or watercolor, or should I choose this color, that color, or should I choose this kind of smear or this paintbrush? And it just gets overwhelming and you forget about the whole point of it, which is just to make something.
Yeah. Especially if you've got limited time, you don't want to waste time. Which color or which paper? Yes. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that idea. Another one is to try habit stacking. So like the microwave idea, she knows she's going to be standing by the microwave and she keeps a notepad there. So she's using the habit that she already has. So maybe you are spending lots of time waiting in your car, or maybe you have some kind of commute, or you're on a bus or a train, you can bring stuff with you. Yeah, looking for those times when you already have a habit and you can add something onto it. You can make sure that you bring the sketchbook or the knitting supplies or whatever you're using with you. Make sure you have it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I found really helpful is to work at my best time of day. When I started working in the evening, it really wasn't my best time of day. So when I switched to working in the morning, I think that worked much better for me. So be flexible. If you've tried something and it's not quite right, change it. Try something different. Or if you try something and it completely flopped, don't just abandon it. Think about what didn't work. Were you really tired? Was it at a bad time of day? Or maybe try and find a better time of day that works.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the times we get caught up in what exactly the habit is. So we think, okay, I didn't manage to wake up early today, so I'm going to ignore the habit. But the habit isn't on waking up early. It's about creating.
Yes.
So moving it, hello. It seems like a simple thing, but we often forget that.
Yeah. Along the same lines, know yourself and what works for you. What is successful for you right now? And what are you willing to give up to give yourself more time to be creative right now? So like I was saying, if you have a newborn at home, what your season looks like is going to be very different than if you don't have kids at home, or if your kids have moved out, or if you've started a new job. So just be realistic about yourself and don't set yourself up for failure by deciding you want to do a habit and then making it really hard for yourself.
Yeah. And someone who's got the habit of painting for 3 hours a day doesn't necessarily mean that that's a better habit than your 5 minutes a day.
No.
Because the importance is just in having it.
I agree too. Also evaluate what's working. So maybe you decide, okay, you don't have a daily habit. Maybe you're going to try this thing for a week. And after a week, you're going to check with yourself. Did it work? Is there something that wasn't working? Don't be afraid to make changes. Also, try a new creative practice. So let's say you have been painting for a while. Maybe the painting isn't going to work. Maybe you, for whatever reason, you have little kids, or you moved into a smaller space and the giant paintings that you used to make, you just don't have room for. So what other medium could you use? I feel like the point isn't specific medium. It's about creating. At least it is for me. So what else can you do, or what else can you change it to? I wish that I had known how to knit before I had kids, because I think that would have been a pretty easy thing to be able to pick up and put down. And there are some creative practices that are like that, that are maybe more quiet, so you can do while the kids are sleeping and you're not going to wake them up. Or maybe they're more portable, so you can take them with you when you go traveling, or if you're watching a sports game or something. That, I guess, don't give it up.
I like the idea.
Being creative, right?
Yeah, I love the idea of watching a sports game and knitting.
Yeah, you fit it in. I mean, I can't knit without looking at it yet, but some people can.
I tried to knit while I was pregnant. No. Not good with that.
But you tried it.
Yeah. But I did the like typical thing where I bought like 50 euros worth of fancy ass wool. It's just not work out. It's not. That's a good one into your next way. It's a good segue.
To be realistic, before we had kids, I had projects, and I don't remember specifically what it was, but they were out on the counter, and I could see them, and I knew that I couldn't do them. And so I finally ended up putting them away because it was kind of like they were mocking me that I on them. And like, you just need to go away. And that doesn't mean that I can't come back to them.
Mm.
There are different seasons, but don't let yourself be hung up on something. Oh, I can't do whatever this project is because of this situation, but something else. Don't just give up on the habit.
Mm.
So give yourself a jump start by choosing one thing to do the night before. Sometimes, again, as a parent, this is my situation. At the end of the day, I'm really tired, but I might have about 5 minutes worth of energy and I can clear off the desk because I know that the next day I'm going to have some time to work and it's going to give me a jump start because it's going to be all ready for me. Or I will set out things. I'm quite visual, so it reminds me, oh yes, I wanted to work on that. I wanted to use that tool or finish that project. So if I give myself just a few minutes to set up the night before, it feels like a better use of time, both the night before and giving myself a head start the next day.
Mm. While we're talking about that, do you have a ritual when it comes to your mornings?
I guess so. I keep my iPad, Apple Pencil, headphones so I can listen to a podcast, and I also write morning pages. So I keep all of those things in the same spot right by the chair that I draw in. So I come downstairs, set the kettle on for my coffee because I like it hot. And then I sit down and I start writing first. I write my morning pages first. And then I draw.
I love it. I feel like I'm definitely going to, I'm going to set my alarm for tomorrow. I used to wake up early. And then with Elliot, I just wake up whenever he wakes up, which is about 6. And I feel like I have enough sleep stored up inside of me that I'm going to wake up a bit earlier tomorrow. I'm going to try to get back into it.
That's a great plan. I think I feel better as a parent when I'm waking up before my kids. Mm. It's just a better start and therefore it's better for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just listening to you and I'm just like missing who, like I used to be extremely habit driven and then my kid happened and then everything changed. And it's like you speak about with the seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm getting kind of excited talking to you because it's making me feel as though I can bring some of that back in a new way that would work for me. These are really good tips.
Yeah, I think that's the key is what works for you now and being realistic about that.
Mm.
And not beating yourself up or your situation being upset with that because it didn't work for you.
Mm. This conversation is giving me a laugh.
Good. So similar idea, choose to value whatever time you do have.
Mm.
I think when my kids were really little, I was really frustrated because I didn't have big chunks of time. I would have maybe 5 or 10 minutes of time. And it seemed not enough. And so now I kind of switched at what can I do in 5 minutes? So I will also do things like when I'm doing the dishes, I don't put a video on for them.
Mm.
When they're watching a video, I want to be doing something that I want to do. Which feels really selfish sometimes, but I think it's important because I think it's acknowledging who I am and that it's my day as well. And that way, let's say they watch a 20-minute show. If I have spent the night before setting something up, then I can probably get something done and I would be surprised how much I can get done in 10 or 20 minutes. So that's another reason why to try and get stuff set up the night before as well.
Mm. There's that saying that says things take however long you give them.
Mm. Yes, I've definitely found that. It's amazing how much you can get done as a parent. And you think, what did I do with my time before?
Yeah. And I mean, we're using that example a lot because we're both parents and I've been losing a lot of sleep lately because of my kid. So it's like fresh in my mind. But, yes, you know, like my friend who's a doctor, that's like a really good example. She was complaining about how she didn't have time to scrapbook. And I'm like, yeah, you're a doctor. Just get a notebook and write down things that you want to remember. You don't need to do all of it.
Yes. Yeah, that reminds me when my kids were really little, I had a piece of paper on the fridge. And when they said something funny, I would just write it on the piece of paper. And then later on, years later, then I added it to their books.
Oh, yeah.
But then I had the information. It was on a scrap of paper. That part didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yes, definitely thinking about how you can make it work right where you are is really important.
Yeah. When my son was a newborn, one of the ways I worked around it, firstly, was drawing while because he only ever slept on me. All his naps. I feel like it was 8 months, but I could be misremembering, maybe 6 months. But all of his naps were on me. He was very clingy. And so then, like, while I'd breastfeed, then I would draw on that breastfeeding pillow or work completely around it. And similar to your notes on the fridge, I used to keep an Evernote with like little things and little changes and things that I want to remember or do. Or yeah, I tried buying a pocket Leuchtturm journal, and that was a little bit more difficult to maintain than an Evernote notebook. So yeah. I really like the idea that there is a lot of value in storing ideas and keeping things for later, like a little magpie.
Yes. I think that's the best way to use the inspiration. Because so it comes to you, you think it's a good idea, and maybe you go back and look at it later and you thinking, I must have not have slept that day. But often it is a really good idea. And if I hadn't written it down, I would have lost it. Yeah. So it's valuing that part of ourselves, especially during a season when we can't actually kind of see the project to the end.
I love that. Valuing ourselves. I feel like I've stopped taking notes from you because I'm just going to listen back to this again.
Okay, so the next one is create before you consume. So I try really hard not to check any social media, not my email. I draw first. I write first technically, but I'm not looking for anybody else. I'm not reading a book or a magazine. I'm doing my own thing. And that I think that also helps not feel, maybe I'm kinder to myself with what I post because I'm not immediately comparing it to what somebody else posted. Yeah, I think it's easier to be more confident in what I'm making when I'm not immediately comparing it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And along the same lines, share your work, create a hashtag. If you can create a hashtag that nobody else is going to want to add to, like put your name in it or something or your initials. And also, so I have hashtags for each of my 100-day projects, which means I can go back and look at each project separately, which is kind of fun and could also be really helpful if you wanted to print out the project. There's some photo book sites that you can take photos from Instagram and make a photo book with. And so that would make it really easy if you have a hashtag that's only for that project. Make a plan B. So if you're planning to draw every day, and I guess if you've never done it before, you can anticipate there's probably going to be times when you're going away, you're traveling. There might be times when you or somebody else near you is sick, and so you need to work around that. Or maybe there's something that's totally unexpected. So what would be a plan B? What would still be creating for you if something came up so that you don't just say, well, I've missed a week and now I'm done. I'm not going to ever do that again. So keep the ball going. Maybe there's a book that is about some of the project that you want to learn more about. And so you could have that book ready so that when you have days like that, and I do mean when, it's not just if, are going to be days like that, but you have an alternative so that you don't just give up.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of one of that's happened for you? I mean, 900-day projects down the line.
So I did take my iPad with us to Disneyland and I drew there. I didn't draw in the morning because I didn't want to set the alarm and wake up. to be awake. But I drew in the evening. I think when I was camping, I did actually miss days. And I decided that instead of saying, well, I've missed 3 days, that's it, I'm going to give up. Say, you know, I can add a drawing to every day and catch up. And I think that's still okay. So being gentle with yourself, if you do need to catch up. I haven't had to use it, but I think thinking about, I have some like special magazines like Flow Magazine or Uppercase Magazine. I get lots of books from the library. Not always related to drawing, but sometimes. And I think if something happened and I wasn't able to draw every day, I hope that I would remember that. Note to self, it's okay to maybe change it partway through if that means that you keep going.
Yeah, I think it's important that we know ourselves. We know when we need a little bit of kindness and forgiveness inside ourselves, but also if we aren't on our 900-day project and we're still trying, maybe we do need a little kick in the ass, and then knowing that we need that as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's tricky. I think I do have some sketchbooks still. So I like the really little ones. They're about 3.5 by 5, I think. Mm-hmm. I really like that size. And if it's fortunate because then it's easy to take with me. Mm-hmm. So I think if I couldn't use my iPad, let's say my iPad broke, that would be terrible. But I could do that. So it wouldn't just be like, oh, well, now I can't do anything. I would choose to do that. Another one, use screen time strategically. I mentioned that earlier. Don't do the dishes while the kids are entertained. If you really want to make art as a habit, if you want to make something, use that strategically. So do the dishes when they're just playing. Maybe they're stuck on your leg, but do them when they're not being entertained and quiet. Another thing that I haven't done a lot recently is work in batches. When I was making more art journals, not on the iPad, I would do things in batches. So I would maybe prep pages, maybe do a bunch of stamping at once. So maybe there's something that you can do to prepare yourself so that when you do have those times, you don't have a lot of time, your stuff is already prepped for you. And the last one I had was, when you can't create, do all the things that you don't want to do when you do have time. So on those long days when I'm parenting and there's not a lot of time to myself, I will try and do things like get the kitchen very clean and vacuum and all the laundry put away. I mean, it seems kind of unrelated to making art, but I'm at home and I can see that there's laundry needing to be done. It can be conflicting. It can be hard to say, I'm just going to sit down and make this thing, but ignore that laundry, which maybe that's important to do as well. But I do like to try and prepare for those times when I know that I'll have more time by doing all that household or errands, all that stuff ahead of time.
Oh, I think that's a big one. My kid's been on holiday for 3 weeks now, and subconsciously I've been thinking a little bit along those lines. Like, I've been doing a lot of deep cleaning and stuff where, I love that. And I think that point also kind of brings a little bit of reverence to the creative practice. And, you know, like when you go to church into mass or whatever, you do have, like, you're not going to shout, or you're not going to run around, or I don't know, whatever. You're going to give it respect. And I feel like the creative practice, it needs that respect, and that, you know, if you show up every day, you're giving it respect, and it's going to respect you back, and it's going to bring its side of the bargain. And I think our homegirl, Elizabeth Gilbert, in Big Magic speaks about that as well, is, if you're going to show up every day, actually, that's one of my favorite quotes. I promise you, if you show up every day, something, you're going to bloom. So, you know, yes, when you treat this time with with that dignity, respect, reverence, all of these things, and we're making sure that we do all our other things when we don't have time to create, there is something really special about it.
Yeah, I remember I was thinking about that section from Elizabeth Gilbert's book as well when you were talking about that. The idea of I'm showing up, I'm going to take care of the quantity, and I think she talks about the muse taking care of the quality. Yeah, you have to be there or it's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah, because we don't, what do we have control over? We don't have control over the quality, really. We've just got a very direct control over the quantity. And if we keep doing, then something's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that makes me excited. It makes me excited because, you know, it makes me excited that I've got any kind of control over this process. Because there's so much pressure if we put a blank page in front of us and we are told, okay, now make something that's a masterpiece. That's too stressful, no matter if you're someone who's been creating for 3 days or if you're a Michelangelo. There's just, I love the idea that anyone, if they're just wanting to put in 5 minutes a day, they can make magic.
Yeah, me too.
Hmm.
There's a Julia Cameron quote about basically the idea that you're going to be more successful if you try.
Yeah.
Not the exact quote. I can tell you the quote for the show notes. But you have to be brave enough to show up. And if you're not showing up, and like I was probably before I started to get messy, I would see people making things and think, oh, I could do that better. But I wasn't making anything.
It's like that thing. Yeah, it's that joke about, yeah, I could have done that. And then, yeah. Oh, but did you?
Yes. All right. Yes.
Yeah. Love it. Those are incredible, practical things that someone wanting that creativity in their life and someone who's seeing other artists doing things, you know, you could do this immediately. You don't even need to wait for the morning, or you don't even need to wait until you set your alarm clock. You can do something right now, unless you're driving and listening to the podcast, but probably you've got 5 minutes.
Yes, I tend to overthink things, so maybe I'm not the best person to talk about this, but I do think it's worth thinking about it a little bit. Think, okay, what would be the best time of day? Let me set myself up. Let's get the few tools that I need. But then just do it. Don't keep thinking.
So tell me what recommendations you have into books and maybe other artists' projects you're speaking about a little bit earlier, but
yes,
with your list.
So the artist projects was Lisa Congdon's, she called it 365 Days of Hand Lettering, which she ended up making into a book. Also Crystal Moody's Year of Creative Habits. She started out drawing every day, and then the next year she painted every day. Crystal Moody was interviewed on the Elise Gets Crafty podcast, which was really inspiring to me before I started. It was called Maintaining a Creative Habit with Crystal Moody. Another really cool project that I liked and really wanted to try, and I did try actually for about a month, was to take photos every day. The 3191 Miles Apart was, well, I think they still work on some, maybe once a month or so. It's not as often, but they were doing daily photographs. It was two ladies, so they would pair the photographs together, and they've made three books now, I think, that are really inspiring.
I knew about the one. That's crazy. Yeah.
And around the same time, I was also following some other people that were doing photos. So it would be a group of photos, and I think they added it with about 30 words, kind of a commentary. It was often not actually directly about the photo. It was more about their day, which I thought would be a really interesting journal to look back on. I think both the photo and the words, because you're limited to 30 words, it would be more like my feelings about the day or my concept or how, I don't know. It was a very inspiring project as well.
Yeah, that kind of also goes back to what you're speaking about with limiting yourself.
Yeah.
Like finding creativity in that.
Yeah, because 30 words or less, then you get to 30 words and you're done. That's it. You did it.
That's a great one. I know you also have really cool trackers that you offer.
Yeah, I've made a few trackers, some monthly ones. So months have different lengths, of course. So 28, 29, 30, and 31 day trackers. So that if you're starting a monthly project, you can color off as you go, which can be really helpful to your progress. And also a 100 day project if you want to do a 100.
No pressure to like aim for none though. Just do the first 100 days.
No, start with a month or start with even a week.
Mm.
And I think one thing I didn't talk about, you might need the outer accountability of a friend. You might need somebody to keep you going, to keep asking about it. So maybe you do this with somebody else that, or maybe you invite people to join your hashtag, something like that. Might keep you going where you might otherwise give up.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Game AC started. So we invited people to join us on our little bit.
Yeah, and there's something about knowing that somebody else is going to show up and they're counting on you to show up.
Mm.
And they will ask how you're doing if you don't. And it's not in a like mean way or anything. It's in a supportive way. Like, I want you to keep doing this.
Mm. If you don't have anyone that you know of that you could follow, you can definitely follow Annika.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave links to all of her stuff below. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about your book recommendations.
Oh, yes. So anything by Austin Kleon?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess my first one would be The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. If you want to start a habit like writing morning pages, which is kind of a stream of conscious writing, she does 3 pages every day. Don't tell her, but I only do 2. it works for me. So again, it's about what works for you. But The Artist's Way is really good. I've read through that a few times. So yeah, all of Austin Kleon's books. If you want to do more about writing, I really like Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. Another book about creative habit is Twyla Tharp's book called Creative Habit. And I recently read a couple books that were really helpful. One was Finish by John Acuff. I just like the idea of finishing things. I think I've been pretty good about starting things and not always finishing. And so he also has the idea about making your goal really small, because then it's easier to finish.
Mm.
So that was a really good book. Another book is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And that one was a little more detailed. He talks about habit stacking. So you're by the microwave and you have a sketchbook there, so you can add something there. Or there was some really good ideas about how to make habits work better.
Mm. Yeah. I know you recommended that John Acuff guy, the Finnish book. You recommended that to me and it has changed my life. I feel like, and I started following him on Instagram, even though I don't usually follow people on Instagram. I loved everything. I know that another thing that he said in there was to make your goals fun.
Yes.
I like that part. I think that was very revolutionary to me. You know, there's nothing noble about choosing a boring thing that you want in your life.
Yeah. And I think that also, like, pick what works for you. What are you interested in? Don't think, oh, you have to paint every day just because you see other people doing that.
Yeah. Mm.
Pick something fun.
That's really great. Oh, man. Oh, wow. We've been speaking. I didn't even look at the time until now. I'm sorry. But this has been absolutely incredible. Like I said, you can expect a marriage proposal soon. I'm
already taken, but okay. Thank you.
We can be habit married.
Okay. We can talk. Yes, we can be habit buddies. I love talking about habit.
Man, this has just been the best conversation. I love your views on all of this. And I love your hustle and your ability to show up every day and also make beautiful things. It's just, yeah, speaking to you, it's been such an honor. And I'm really glad for the power of the internet.
Well, I'm really glad that you invited me. It's been an honor to talk with you. Thank you.
If, okay, so let's end this by, if you had 30 words, okay, let's not make it 30 words, but if you've got like three sentences to tell someone who's thinking about doing this, what would you say?
I would say set the bar really low, evaluate, and then keep going.
Okay. So I'm going to put all the show notes below, which I feel like there are going to be many, many, many show notes, because there are definitely going to be many notes in my personal notebook. But yeah, thank you so much for chatting, and I look forward to your 900-day project.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, making art should be easy and not bring you stress. Being creative is beautiful and it's sometimes a mess. And we can't keep making excuses. Oh yeah, we've heard them all.